If you have your Bibles, we're going to study the book of Ephesians, Ephesians chapter 6, verse 1. You do not want to be here next week. Don't miss it. We're finishing the book of Ephesians. And the greatest teaching on spiritual warfare, or at least the longest teaching on spiritual warfare, we'll cover next week as we finish chapter 6 of Ephesians. But this morning, last week we started, what we're talking about today is, when you become a child of God, as we say this morning, God changes you. And one of the ways we believe God changes you is that people in the church do relationships different than people outside the church. That relationships, because God changed who we are and his character is formed in us, that we do marriage different than the world does marriage. And we're going to talk about this morning, we do parenting different than the world does parenting. And we do work relationships different than the world, that the way the world does relationships, there should be a stark contrast to the way the church does relationships. That your faith in God should impact your marriage, it should impact your parenting, and it should impact your relationships at work. So this morning, we're going to look at that in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 1. Before we do that, three principles. Number one, when you get saved, you commit your life to Jesus, but you should also commit all your relationships to God. And the Bible is our standard for relationships, not pop culture, not influencers, not music, not movies, not someone else's opinion, but the Word of God tells us how relationships ought to function. Number two is this: the golden rule always applies. Now, some of you, Jesus taught a rule that we call the golden rule. Here's what it is: treat others the way you want to be treated. And the Bible says there's no expiration date to that, and there's no exceptions. You're always to treat people like if you were in the same situation, how would you want them to treat you? And that is the greatest relationship principle found in the Bible. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. Number three is this: there's no limit to the fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And the Bible says, there is no law against these things, or what Paul is saying here, there's no exceptions. You should always be loving. You should always bring peace to relationships. You should always be kind. You should always be good to people. You should always be gentle to people. You should always be faithful to people. You should always exhibit self-control. There's no expiration date on the golden rule, and there's no expiration date on the fruit of the Spirit. There's no exceptions to the golden rule. The Bible doesn't say, do the golden rule unless the person does this to you. And the Bible doesn't say you're to exhibit the fruit of the Spirit or God's character in your life, except there's no expiration date and there's no exceptions. These are the principles, foundational principles of real. We commit all of our relationships to God. We always treat other people the way we'd want them to treat us. And we always show God's character in our relationships. Now, in Ephesians, Paul gives us some specific instructions. Like Ephesians chapter 6, verse 1 says this: children, obey your parents because you belong to the Lord, for this is right thing to do. Now, so the first thing that what Paul's going to talk about here is that we are to submit to the authorities in our life. Now, is there any exceptions to the word obey? Well, yes. If someone tries to get you to commit a crime, you don't do that, right? If someone tries to get you to do something that goes against the Bible, you don't do that. If you're in an abusive relationship where someone's manipulating you or abusing you a certain way, we're not. But the general rule taught in Scripture is that we are to obey the governing authorities over our life. We're to submit to authority in our life. And here he's talking to children. He says, children, submit to the authority of your parents because this is the right thing to do. Look at this. Honor your father and mother is the first commandment, the Ten Commandments, right? Honor your father. This is the first commandment with a promise. So when God gave the Ten Commandments, the first commandment that had a promise to it was honor your father and mother. It said this: if you honor your father and mother, things will go well for you. That's what the Bible says. That word honor means respect. If you show respect to your parents, things will go well with you and you'll have a long life on this earth. So what's the difference between obeying your parents and honoring your parents? Well, obeying your parents, it's obeying. It's submitting to the authority of your life. And I believe as long as you live under your parents' household, you have a responsibility to obey your parents. But when you become adults, you no longer obey your parents, but you're to always respect and to honor your parents. The word honor means to prize them. It means to give them worth. It means to build them up. You don't tear your parents down. You build them up. And so some of you, you've been out of your home for a long time. You are, again, unless they're causing you to commit a crime or unless you're in an abusive relationship or unless they're asking you to go against Scripture, the Bible does give exceptions not to submit to governing authorities, but they are very narrow. They're very narrow. Are there times the Bible says we're not to obey authority or life? Yes, but we'll talk about it in a minute, but they're very narrow. The general rule is parents, if you're living in your mom and dad's household, you're to submit to their authority. Number two, when you're adult and you're paying your own bills, you're still to show honor and respect to your parents. Then he talks to parents. Verse 4, fathers. And that word father, it could be, could be parents. Do not provoke your children to anger by the way you treat them. So he tells parents, listen, yes, your children are submit to you, but you are not to provoke them or to make them angry. But see, sometimes parents can push their children's buttons. You ever had somebody push your buttons? They know how to trigger you, right? So he's saying, parents, You are not to provoke your children to anger. You're not to abuse the authority that God's given you or misuse that authority over your children. I love the balance of the Bible. Look at this. He says, rather bring them up in the discipline. This is what the key to in the instruction that comes from the Lord. That word discipline means train. Parents, you're to train your children. And of course, that instruction means to teach. So parenting, we're to train them. What's the difference between training and teaching? Training is showing them what to do. Teaching is telling them what to do. And to be a good parent or a mentor or a father or mother, you've got to do both. You've got to show them how to live. So you are a model to them. So parents, if you want your children to honor you, live an honorable life. Show them how to live. Show them what it means to be a man of God. Show them what it means to be a woman of God. Show them how, in your marriage, how you treat your spouse. Is how one of the ways people learn how marriages to work is to watch their parents' marriage. So be an example. Discipline them. Train them. Show them what to do. And there is a teaching aspect to being a parent. You're to teach them, and it says, that which comes from the Lord. Do you know parents are to be the main teachers to their children about God, not the church? The church is secondary. You're the primary teacher of the Bible and the things of God to your children. They're going to know God by watching you and listening to you. The church we might get them on Sunday morning and Wednesday night. If you're depending upon the church to teach your children everything they know about God, we don't have them. They're on their phones more than we have them. They're watching television more than we have them. They're on social media more than we have them. The church may get them 4 or 5 hours a week if you're here every Sunday morning and every Wednesday night. There's no way the church could be the main teacher or trainer of your children, the things of God. God says, mom and dad, you discipline, you train, and you teach your children about God and the things of God. And that word train, we use the word discipline, it has a connotation of warning. One of the things you're to do as a parent is to warn your children, hey, if you go down this pathway, there's going to be consequences. You're to warn your children of things that could cause them problems or difficulties or consequences in their life. That also tells us, and we talked about this a few weeks, parents, we're not always to save our children from the consequences of their mistakes. Here's what I believe. As a parent, I could be a safety net. I'm not going to let my children just blow everything. But I'm not going to keep them from facing pain sometimes. Because how many knows pain is a good teacher? How do you learn not to touch a hot stove? Touch it once, right? Touch that hot stove once, you're going to make sure you ain't touch that hot stove again, right? And as parents, that word train or discipline, there is a warning in there of, hey, so disciplining your children is part of being a parent. Again, you could be a safety net. I think we should be. We don't want our children to lose everything and not be able to rebuild their lives. But we're not to prevent them from experiencing pain. And sometimes when your children get to be young adults, You've got to allow them to make decisions without always being the parrot in their ear. Because how do you learn to make decisions if you never have opportunity to make a decision? Right? We've got to allow our children. My mom and dad are here. My mom and dad have been going to this church, not as long as Lottie, but pretty close. And I'll never forget when Kathy and I told them we were going to Egypt. They didn't say much. They didn't have to. Right? Right? Our parents let us make decisions. And most of you who are grown adults, you don't want your parents telling you what to do, do you? I mean, you really don't want your parents telling you what to do all the time. So don't treat your children that way. If you don't want your parents always telling you what to do, don't always tell your adult children what to do. Give them the freedom. We talked about we're to raise independent children so they become dependent upon God. But as long as your children are always dependent upon you, they'll never become dependent upon God. If you're always there for them, if you're always doing for them, if you never let them go on their own, you know what? They'll never grow to just become dependent upon Jesus. Amen? So that's parenting. Okay, so last week we talked about marriage. It said husbands, love your wife. Wives, respect your husbands. Children, obey your parents as long as you're living under their household, but you're always to honor and respect them. And parents, you're not to provoke your children angry. And then he says this in verse 5. Slaves, obey your earthly masters. Now, can I be honest? When I read that, I'm like, what? He's telling a slave to obey their master? And I had to think about that a little bit as we study it. Sometimes you will live in an unjust system. Slavery was common in the day that the book of Ephesians was written. And if Paul would have written slaves saying, escape your master, one of two things would have happened to them. Number one, they'd probably been killed. They tried to escape their master, and that day it had been a death sentence. But even if they got away from their master, even if they were escaped in that day, they would have had no means to provide food and provision for their family. They would have starved to death. Because back in that day, the whole economy was based upon a slave labor. And there wasn't a social safety net. There was no welfare. There was no food stamp. If that slave would have ran away from his masters, that slave would have no means to feed its family. So Paul says slave is reality. He's not endorsing slavery. We know in the Bible slavery is an evil and God wanted to get rid of slavery, but he was writing to real people in real circumstances. And he was saying because slavery is in that day, slaves, this is what he says. He says, slaves, obey your earthly masters with deep respect and fear. Serve them sincerely as you would serve Christ. Try to please them some of the time. No. All the time, not just when they're watching you, as slaves of Christ. And this is what this means. When we get saved, we make Jesus Lord or Master of our life. When you make Jesus Lord and Master, you know what that means? You have no rights and no privileges. You surrender all your rights and all your privileges to God. He says, do the will of God with all your heart. Look at this. Work with enthusiasm as you're working with the Lord, rather than for people. Now, I want to stop here before we do the next verse. We're going to apply this to our work relationships. Most of us here, we have authority over our life. Supervisor, a boss, a manager, or someone. And we don't live in a slave labor, thank God. We live in a democracy. And we have freedom. We have freedoms and rights. I'm grateful that we have that. Here's what the Bible says. When you're working for someone, you are to submit to their authority over your life at work in three ways: your actions, your attitude, and your words. Say it again. Your actions, your attitudes, and your words. Again, Christians do relationships different than the world does. We should treat our boss differently than non-Christians at work. The Bible says to work as you're working unto the Lord. You know, you may have a horrible boss. You may be in an unjust system. You may be in a system where your boss doesn't treat you right, doesn't speak to you right, you're not getting the raise, you're not getting the promotion, but you're ultimately not working for that human being. You're working for God, and you're to go to work and do your work unto the Lord, the Bible says. You're saying, you know what? My boss might be a horrible human being. My boss may mistreat me, but I'm going to do the very best job I can because I'm not doing it for him. I'm not doing it for the company I work for. I'm doing it for Jesus. When you go to work, you're to work for them like Jesus was your manager or Jesus was your employer. So your actions. Number two is your attitude. Christians should never have a bad attitude at work. He uses the word enthusiasm. You're to be enthusiastic. Pastor, you don't know where I work. Ain't nobody enthusiastic. But a giver, how does the world tell that we're different than people who don't know God? If we act the same way they do in the workplace as everybody else does. We're to work enthusiastically for our company. We're to give our best effort. Even if they're a bad company, even if they don't pay you well, even if they mistreat you, even if they don't, listen, you are to work with enthusiasm as if it was, and just in my, listen, I had a job one time I've talked about before. I worked third shift janitor. Was not a great job in college. I cleaned commodes in the middle of the night. And I had a boss one time that would stand over me. I'd be in the stall cleaning the commode, and he would stand over me and just make my life miserable. He was miserable, and he took it out on me. He didn't like his boss, so he couldn't take it out on his boss, so he took it out on me. And I'm telling you, when you're scrubbing toilets at 3 o'clock in the morning and some guy's yelling at you, it ain't all that great. But you know what? That did not excuse me to have a bad attitude towards my boss. When you work in a, listen, we're talking about how to live righteously in an unjust system. Just because the system you're in is unjust does not excuse you to live unrighteously. Oh, that was good. Just because the system you're working in is unjust does not give you an excuse to live unrighteously. Because you live righteously not because how other human beings treat you. You live righteously because you've committed your life to Jesus. Then how about your words? I want you to think about it. I want you to think about who is your supervisor. If your supervisor heard everything you said about them, how would that go? Say it again. If your supervisor heard everything you said about them, how would that go? Would that bring them closer to Jesus or further away to Jesus? Have you honored God with your words about the person or the company you work for? Again, we're talking about living righteously in an unjust system. Just because maybe your boss has spoken bad about you, that does not justify you speaking bad about them. Maybe your organization made decisions you disagree with. That does not give you a right to listen. When you talk, look, if I talk to Kathy negative about person who was over me, I've demeaned that person in Kathy's eyes. And children of God do not do that. I know that's hard, but it's Bible. When I speak negative about the people who have authority over me to someone else, I demean them. I lower their value in the person's eyes that I'm speaking to. And children of God don't do that. We don't speak negative. Sometimes we got to think, who do we think we are? You're not the one making that decision. You're not the one paying the price for that decision. Sometimes it's just pure pride that you think you know how to do it better. And you may. And that still gives you no right to have a bad attitude at work or to speak negative about your supervisor. Listen, I've seen it happen in churches. Staff, now here, staff people talk about their pastors and what I'm thinking. And we're the church. We're the church. We are to honor the people we work for. And we're to be grateful for that paycheck. They're putting food on your table and a roof over your head. And you ought to be grateful for that. And if they're not treating you well, you're working not for them anyway. You're not working for X and Y corporation. You're working for God.
And you got to be very thankful for the job that God's given you. A lot better not having a job. Amen? So here's what Paul is saying. Christians do relationships different than the world. We do marriage differently. We do parenting differently. And we do work relationships differently. Last verse there, remember, look at this, that the Lord will reward each one of you for the good we do, whether we're slaves or free. What's it saying here? Just like there was a promise for children that if you obey and honor your parents, things will go well with you and you'll live a long life. The Bible says if you'll treat your employer and your supervisor with respect, God will reward you even though your company doesn't. You may be working extra hours. You may be doing extra work. You're thinking, my company doesn't care. My boss doesn't care. I don't get rewarded for that. But you know what? God sees it. And if you've got faith, God says he'll reward you for the work that you do. See, the Bible says our life is our greatest witness. We're to treat the people, the organization, the people that we work with differently than the world does. And I spent, we've all failed at this. When I was in that commode, washing, in those stalls, washing those commodes, I didn't always do good. My attitude wasn't always great. And I'm sure, I don't remember, but I'm sure I said some things I shouldn't have said about the guy. Fortunately, I forgot his name. I can't remember. I try to think, what was that guy's name? Probably was so bad I blocked it out, right? I just blocked it out on that kind of thing. Listen, for about 6 months, I would go to work at 11 o'clock at night and a dread would come over me. You ever had a job like that? I mean, just dread. The dread would come. I knew how that guy was going to treat me. And it wasn't right. He didn't treat me well. I didn't cause his pain, but I was the object of it, right? It's miserable. But again, we're talking about living righteously in an unjust system. It's easy to live righteously when your boss is giving you a raise and everybody's, you know, promoting you and great, and patting you. Well, it's easy to live a godly life. Then how do we do when it's unjust? How do we do when we're not treated well? How do we do when we're not getting fair compensation? Now, then, again, I love the balance of the Bible. Then he talks to employers. Look at this. Masters, treat your slaves in the same way. In other words, be fair and good to the people who work for you, those who are in supervisor roles. You are not to use your authority to hurt people. You're not to use your authority to manipulate people. You're not to use that control over them to make that guy who treated me that way, he was wrong. He should never have took it out on me what was happening to him. And listen, if you've got people that you're managing, the Bible says, treat them the same way. You're to be enthusiastic because of this. He says, don't threaten them. Don't power up over them. Don't do that. Again, see how balanced the Bible is? He tells children how to behave, then he tells parents. Then he says, if you're an employee, this is what you're supposed to do. Then he says, you're an employer. He goes, you both have the same master in heaven. If you're a Christian and you're in a management position, you're the people who work under you ought to see Jesus in you. Even if you're in a workplace that you can't say it, you know, there might be some limitations on how much of your faith you'll be able to share in your workplace. I get that. But they ought to see Jesus in how you treat them. That doesn't mean you don't discipline an employee. That's part of management, right? Part of leadership. But they ought to know that you treat them fair, that you listen to them, that you have a good heart, that you want good for them. Do the people who work under your authority, do they know down deep, man, my boss wants good for me. My boss is a fair person. My boss is level. He doesn't fly off the handle and yell at me. He doesn't take it out on me when his boss takes it out on him. Go same way. And then it says, and he has no favorites. No partiality is what that word means. God isn't partial. He treats everyone the same. And we are to treat people the same. We're not to use our authority to demean other people, or to abuse them, or to control them, or to treat them unfairly. We are to pay a fair wage for a hard day's work, as we can, and we're to treat people with fairness. So again, the Bible's talking about here that Christians do relationships differently than non-Christians. And it ought to be a stark difference. We do marriage different. I had so much fun Monday in that wedding. I mean, they called me at 11 o'clock, wanted to get married at 5 o'clock, right? It was one of the best days the pastor ever had. It was just great. We just had a great, right down here in front. Hannah stayed and took pictures. Again, the bride's dad had asked off work to make his daughter's wedding. They stopped by Walmart and bought flowers and came. It was great. It was great. And they said their vows to each other. And it ended until death does us part. Until death does. Christian marriage ought to be different than the world's marriage. Man, the way you treat your spouse ought to be different than a non-Christian treats their spouse. Wives, the way you treat your husband ought to be different than a non-Christian treats their husband. Parents, you ought to honor and respect your parents differently than the world does. And parents, you're not to provoke your children to anger. You're to be good to them. And employees, we treat our boss with respect and we honor the company that we work for. We're grateful that God's given us a job and there's food on the table and there's clothes on my back and there's a roof over my head. Thank God for that. And those of you who have had the opportunity to be promoted in your company and you're now managing people, you treat them well. You treat them fairly. You don't threaten them. You don't power up on them. And I promise you, if we will simply live out in our relationships as the Bible tells us to, two things will happen. Number one, you'll have better relationships. Again, you're responsible for doing your part even if the other person doesn't do theirs. You're responsible for obeying the Word of God even if everybody else in your workplace is disobeying the Word of God. Right? We do it this way. Not the world's way. We do it this way. So your relationships will get better. Your marriage, your parenting, your family, workplace will get better if you'll do it this way. Number two, you know what will happen? People will come up to you because they'll see the difference in you. And you'll be a witness of who Jesus is by the life you live, not just the words you say. And how many know the life's got to come first? Because if you say religious words at work, but you're not living it, here's what we don't do. Man, you got to come to First Assembly with me next week. We're having a great time. Church is full of come. Can you believe that guy? He's the worst boss. He's a scum. Somebody talking out of both sides of your mouth. We don't do that. If I was that person, and I heard you inviting me to church in one moment, and the next time at break, you're putting down our supervisor and you're talking bad about the company, I'd be thinking, that church ain't made no difference in you. Why should I go? Right? There ought to be a marked difference in our lives, in our actions, in our attitudes, in our words, on how we treat people. So I'm going to ask the worship team to come. We're going to sing a song. I want to ask you to do some introspection. We've already done our salvation call, so we're not going to do that again. I want some of you to do your introspection. How are you doing at work? If your boss heard everything you said about him, how would that go? Are you working enthusiastically? I don't like that word. When I study that, this, I'm like, God, can I just do my job and go home? No. No. It's not standard. Standard is not do my job, keep my head down. Guys, I got to go enthusiastically. Right? You know, I was thinking this week, you know, the Bible says when Jesus went to Jerusalem going to the cross, you know, it's almost the same word there. He went enthusiastically to the cross. Do you know that? It's how much Jesus loved you. When he saw the vision of his death, the cross, he says he had enthusiasm. If Jesus can go to the cross enthusiastically, I can go to work enthusiastically. Amen?